Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our weekly radio teleconference. I'm actually making this morning's call from the cloakroom off the Senate floor, and the reason for that is that we have a cloture vote scheduled right now, and it'll probably take a few more minutes to get started. But I'm going to have to be kind of quick today and then run over there and vote, so I apologize for that. Let me just jump into my information first, and then we'll get right to the questions. First and foremost, I wanted to talk about energy. We've had a program going on for the last week that has had phenomenal results, where we have been encouraging Idahoans to give us their input on energy prices. Last Monday, I announced an effort to give Idahoans a direct voice in how to resolve our problems related to high gasoline, diesel, and energy prices by encouraging them to send me an email with a paragraph or two about how they and their family members are affected by our high energy prices and what they think we ought to do about it. So far, we have received over 1,000 emails from Idahoans, and I'm going to submit all of these to the Congressional Record. I'm not going to do it all at once because I want to push this story along and help keep the pressure on the Senate, but I'm going to put about 10 or 15 of these stories a day into the Congressional Record every day the Senate is in session. And as these stories are submitted, they're also going to be posted on my website. I've also made an announcement that my next iTown Hall meeting will be focused on energy issues. This meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 9th at 6:30. That's Mountain Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And people can sign up to join this meeting by going on my website at http://crapo.senate.gov and just click the iTown Hall icon, and then that will get you signed up to receive a phone call to participate in this town hall meeting. It's an opportunity we have to meet with tens of thousands of Idahoans across the state all at once in a phone meeting, and those who want to can interact and ask questions, and we really, I believe, have a good time. And like I say, this next one will be focused on energy policy. With regard to the Senate floor this week, currently the Senate is debating a housing bill, which has many good pieces in it. It's got major important reforms to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and our government-sponsored enterprises regarding our housing industry. It's got a very significant and badly needed overhaul of the Federal Housing Administration's mortgage insurance program, and some of those key parts of it that I've been working on for years are included. Unfortunately, though, it also includes a major housing bailout for those who are in poor-performing subprime mortgages, which I believe is an inappropriate use of taxpayer dollars. And although this particular proposal will establish a very major fund coming out of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac operations primarily, out of the government-sponsored enterprises, this is just going to drive up mortgage costs and interest rate costs for all other homeowners. And I think it's a very, very bad mistake that is being made. And there are some other problems in the bill, too. So right now, I'm currently trying to determine whether I should support this legislation or not. It's one of those difficult cases where it's got things in it that are good, but it's got things in it that are very, very bad. And hopefully, we will be able to find a way forward that eliminates some of the problems. We are also this week going to work on the FISA legislation. That's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As I think most Americans know, this act expired a few months ago because we have been in a deadlock here in Congress, and the authorization for our intelligence authorities to continue their protection of our nation through intelligence operations expired. And it's very critical that we move forward with this legislation. We hope that we have been able to iron out the problems. We also expect that this week we are going to be moving forward on the Iraq supplemental spending bill, which would provide the funding for the men and women in our military and other men and women who are there in Iraq, putting their lives on the line to help protect our nation. Hopefully we'll be able to move forward with that package as well. There are a lot of other things going on here in the Senate. But in an effort to save a little bit of time, why don't I stop there, and I'll go forward. And you're first today, Leslie.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Energy is certainly the topic of conversation. Some cities are going into the production of energy using biomass products. If we were to do that here, we happen to be surrounded by forests with a lot of dead and dying from beetle kill. But the question is, whether or not we can have access to this material because it is on federal land. Has anything been addressed in Congress to possibly open up such a possibility?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I strongly agree with you that we should be utilizing the biomass on our national forest lands to assist in energy production, and have been working to get provisions to facilitate that into both our agriculture legislation, the farm bill, as well as into our energy bills that have been moving along here. And the short answer to your question is that we have made some progress. There are some provisions, particularly grant programs, to help facilitate it. But in terms of significant steps to open up opportunities to move into our national forests and utilize this biomass, we still face a deadlock here in Congress. And I'm sorry to report that to you, but the bottom line is, whether it's with our national forests, whether it's with regard to our offshore oil reserves or our production opportunities in ANWR in Alaska, or the shale oil that we have here, or the many other areas where we could increase our production and diversify our energy supplies, we still remain deadlocked in Congress. And it's my hope, one of the reasons that I'm encouraging Idahoans to become so vocal and putting their input in the congressional record, is that it's my hope that people across this country will start speaking out and bringing the pressure necessary to change some votes here in Congress, particularly the Senate, where we're just a few votes short, and help us to get the support necessary to increase our production and our opportunities across the board.
Okay, and one more quick question. Seems to be some confusion over the status of the Secure Rural Schools Act. Where does that stand right now, the refunding of it?
There is some significant concern on that we really need to address. We had included provisions to deal with the Secure Rural School funding in the emergency supplemental for the Iraq spending, but it was dropped out of the House version. And as I indicated earlier, that was a one-year fix, and then there's a three-year fix that we are working on to get included in other legislation that's moving before the Senate right now. But the one-year fix, which was dropped out of the emergency supplemental bill in the House, is still up for debate here in the Senate. And the debate going on in the Senate is whether or not the Senate should simply accept the House bill, or whether we should fix the House bill and add a few things like the Secure Rural Schools legislation back in. As you might guess, I'm very strongly in favor of adding it back in, and I hope we can do that. I have to tell you, though, that right now I think that the leadership on both sides of the aisle is leaning toward just accepting the House version, and so we have our work cut out for us.
And was PILT tied to that?
PILT was a part of that at different points along the way, but we are, in my opinion, we will deal with PILT again, whether it's in the emergency supplemental or in the overall appropriations process, we will deal with it as well.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next, I think Bill Scott is not with us, correct? Next, let's go on to Jason Ford.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
There was legislation introduced in the House, and I believe they're expecting a companion bill from you and Senator Baucus as far as collection of firearms and ammunition excise tax.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and the way it affects wildlife conservation funding as well.
Well, Senator Baucus and I are looking at introducing that legislation. He and I have introduced a number of pieces of legislation together and are able to work on a number of things. Like you may recall, the legislation we've introduced to try to stop the charges being applied to people who are using our national forest lands and so forth. And right now, we are looking at whether to try to stop this, frankly, unfair tax, I think, on firearms. We do have an opportunity through some of our existing legislation to strengthen the participation that our fishermen and hunters and others engage in by paying a fee as they buy ammunition or as they buy fishing supplies and things like that. That helps for tremendous conservation efforts, and we are not trying to stop that kind of extra taxation. It's simply the efforts to try to increase the tax burden on firearms by those who want to engage in, frankly, greater gun control that has us concerned.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And next is Dave Plourd.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I understand there's some talk about regulation of oil price speculation. I thought I heard it called the Pump Act.
Yes, there are dozens, I shouldn't say dozens, but at least 12 or 15 bills introduced on the issue.
Your thoughts, is that a market that needs some regulation?
Well, I'm very concerned about the issue in a couple of ways. First of all, if those who say that market speculation are accurate and are correct, if those who say that market speculation in the futures market for energy is justifiably driving up the price of energy are accurate, then we need to deal with that and put some margin controls on and maybe some requirements that those who engage in futures contracting or speculation actually own futures products or have the capacity to take possession of these futures contracts. There's a lot of legislation proposing this kind of thing. And there are experts who say that the price of energy could come down, gas could come down by 30% if we would stop that speculative trading. There are many other experts, however, who are saying that not only is that not true and that the speculation is pretty much in line with what it has been for years and that those who are long and those who are short are about equally balanced and it's about the same as it has been for years, meaning that they're not really having a significant impact on the market price, but they say that it has an ability to provide liquidity in the market and that we will actually drive up energy prices if we foul up the speculation. They also point out that there are trading floors around the world, and if the United States increases the regulatory restrictions on our trading floors, then the speculative activities will simply move to Dubai or to Shanghai or to London, and so that it will not change the amount of speculation that goes on globally, and since it's a global issue, it won't really have an impact. So we have a very, very different information coming in from different experts, and I'm concerned because, for one thing, I don't want to drive yet more of the business of the United States away to other markets. And yet, if it is correct that the speculation is having an undue impact on prices, then I think we need to deal with it. So we're holding hearings right now. We have a number of committees engaged. There are a number of pieces of legislation proposed, and we're calling in experts from every angle to get the right answer. That's about as good as I can tell you right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I probably better not go back for any more questions because I think we're engaged in a vote, or if not, we'll be momentarily. So thanks, everybody, and I'm going to run and try to catch that vote.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye.